The Parshas Bahar begins with many of the mitzvahs of Shemitah, and the continuation of the parasha has a very, very interesting mitzvah that we're going to discuss. Perikhof Hei, Posadamit Hei. Chiyomuch Chicho, your friend becomes poor, Mota Yoda Imoch, Vechzakta Boy, Geva Sosha Vechai Imoch. It's a mitzvah to support somebody who's struggling financially. However, the Posuk says the support has to be done in a way that the Torah limits to an extent. Atikach Mei Itoy Neshech Besarbis. Make sure that you don't take ribis, what we call ribis. Do not take interest. You mean it's to take any form of financial interest. In other words, take make money on the original capital, give them $100 and take back 110. V'irei sama lekecho and hafir v'kodesh baruch hu v'chei achicha imoch, he shall live with you. Now this is a very disjointed pasuk. Atikach mitad neshech v'sabis v'irei sama lekecho v'chei achicha imoch. If I'll be writing the pasuk, I'll be doing other way. There's a lot of interesting, important pieces of information which seem to be disjointed and sort of cut and pasted for other pasukim, which you have to understand. Es kas b'chol esitin le b'neshech, your money you should not give as neshech, u'b'marbis le sitin ochlecho. And then it talks about ribis, don't give your food. What's the difference between money? What's the difference between food? Ani Hashem alekeichem, Am Hashem, Ashet Seisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Losu Sechem Eretz Eretz Kanaan, Yeschem Lehim. A whole historical background over here. We know that. In other words, there's a pasuk over here that gives a very strong prohibition for a person to lend money with interest. And then it gives all different things. Ash Abo Yav Mitzrayim, I gave Eretz Kanaan, Hafir of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, your brothers should live with you. It's just throwing at us, pummeling us with information which we already know. Why is it so important that we have all this padding around this mitzvah? Secondly, really, what is wrong with ribis? What is wrong with it? Let's understand this carefully. What is wrong with ribis? Ribis, it is forbidden for me. I have $100 that I could be using for my business. I could be investing in that business. With my $100, I could be investing. I could be buying products and selling it at a profit. Now, I have $100 in my wallet. You come and say to me, please, I need your support, can you please lend me that $100? I give you that $100, and now you go with that $100, and you invest it, and you make money. So it's very nice of me to give up the opportunity that I have to make my money on that $100 that I could invest. You've taken that, you've invested, and I can't make a penny from it. So what am I doing wrong by lending you the $100 and charging you what I could be making on it? You know, it's perfectly fair and it's perfectly legitimate. Everyone agreed, there's no issur in the Torah to rent out a car. You have a car that somebody else wants to hire. That person comes to you and say, I want to hire your car. You're allowed to rent that car out for a day or two, because at the end of the day, you could be using that car, somebody else is using the car, so he's benefiting by him taking the car. So why is that different with money? Why can't somebody else get paid for lending that money when he could be using that money? What is so wrong with ribis? Why is that terrible? What's wrong with that? Also, we see it's not that bad, because there are plenty of things not allowed to do in the Torah, not allowed to steal. And stealing is forbidden from a Jew and from a Goy. Yeah? Not allowed to murder, not to injure. When it comes to ribis, there's an issa to take, v'cheil chicha imach, is issa to take ribis from a Jew. But you are allowed to take ribis from a Goy. If there's something wrong, why is it that by a Goy, the Torah tells you are allowed to do it? If it's wrong, it's wrong. And if it's right, do it to a Jew. What's going on over here? The Torah makes this difference. So in truth, if we understood the concept of what is wrong with ribis, then we see how it fits within the context of the entire parasha. The Kli Yaakov says a beautiful, beautiful pshat, and it's worthwhile seeing it inside. The Kli Yaakov says that this: if a person wanted to make money, and a person felt that his money could be used in a way that could profit him, and somebody else came and said to him, listen, I need to borrow money because I need to invest in something, by him giving, in other words, a person who's lending money, giving it to the person who's borrowing the money, and then charging him ribis, is actually an absolutely trouble-free, risk-free transaction. When Reuven lends money to Shimon, Reuben is entitled to take a mashkin. He's entitled to take a collateral. He's entitled to get an orev, a person who's going to be a guarantor. When he lends the money to Shimon, then he is going to get that money back. Whatever happens to that money, different to a hiring of a car, if that money gets swallowed up in an earthquake, lightning strikes and it gets burnt down, there's a halacha of that money is kesev lo yitzar nitno. That kesev is supposed to be spent. You're not expecting to get back the exact same money. Otherwise, there's no point lending it. You are going to have to get back that money whatever happens. You're the shul and you're responsible to get back that money whatever happens. And therefore, when you lend that money, you have no worries at all. You have no worries. That money is generating absolute cash for you, worry-free. You're going to get it back, and it's making money for you.
Depends when. If he doesn't pay right in time, then he has to look at the Arif.
So you go to the Arif, fine, but you'll get your money back. And the chances are that you can make a lot of money on this. So, in fact, it's not about it's not fair to the poor man to charge him ribis. Because it's even also to charge a wealthy man ribis. And a wealthy man is also to charge a wealthy man ribis. Yeah? And it's also for a poor man to charge a wealthy man. It doesn't make a difference. The issue is not that you by any means taking away something that an oni is going to be losing out by it. Ribis is also to take from an oshir as well. And even if the person who's lending the money may be an oni, the oshir can't give him ribis. The problem over here is disconnecting with the ultimate normal laws of having to have a Kadosh Baruch Hu in your life in business. In this case, you do not need the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Money, your money is going to generate money problem-free, worry-free, without a Kadosh Baruch Hu needing Rabbeinu Shleilam to help you along with this. Not so, if I hire my car out to you, then there's certain obligations you have. Obviously, you can't be negligent. Obviously, you're responsible for if it gets stolen or lost. But you're not responsible for an oines. You're not responsible if it's completely out of your control. Therefore, there is always a worry that something could happen. And therefore, particularly when it comes to ribis, there's an issa for me just to give you the money and to walk away, and you have to deal with it. If I want to help you, there's another option. Become a partner. You put in the money, he puts in the work, and together you're a partner. Then there's a risk. Ah, that's not a problem. But to have risk-free money, saying to Rabbeinu Shalom, thank you very much, take a hike, I don't need you in my life, that is a problem of ribis. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I don't want this. I do not want ribis. I do not want you taking ribis, and I do not want you dealing in this kind of thing. By a goy, it's mutter. By a goy, you know, there's certain situations where he can give you a collateral and you break a door down and take it back. You're still worrying with a goy. You still need the Rabbein Shalom. You're still davening Shema Kaleinu for Panosa and Baruch Kaleinu for Panosa when lending out to a goy. And therefore, to a goy, it's mutter. In other words, the whole concept of ribis is a disassociation. It's disconnecting with Ashkocha Protis of the Rabbein Shalom and dealing with your financial situation on your own 2 feet without Rabbein Shalom in your life. That is what's wrong with ribis. Now look at this. It fits in beautifully. Look in the Bala Turim says, Al tikach me itoy neshech l'sarvis. He says, neshech is gematria, ze nochosh. Neshech is gematria, ze nochosh. This is a snake. Okay? Very easy one, right?
Yep.
Ze nochosh. What's the connection to Nochosh? Neshech and Nochosh sound. Okay, what's the connection? He said, La'osid lovoi, ein Nochosh misrape. In the idyllic world, every animal, what it had missing, a Kodesh Baruch Hu will repair, will fix, will heal. But a Nochosh won't. Could you say, but Nochosh offer lachmoi? The Nochosh is going to remain in its own lowly state forever. Kein halukeach ribis lo yichye. So too, the person who takes ribis, lo yichye, he will not be repaired. In other words, lo osin lovoi, there will be a certain situation, what we hope for and daven for, of tchias amesim, but a person whose mouth of the ribis does not stand up for tchias amesim. He does not get healed in the future, just like a nochosh does not get healed in the future. There's a famous story of the Malbim, where somebody who has a mouth of ribis, well-known mouth of ribis, lending money to Jews on ribis, and he came to the Chevra Kedisha for a plot, and the Chevra Kedisha were very upset with this man because he was very much misbehaving. He wanted to get a choice plot in the Chevra Kedi- in the basic forest. As far as members of Malbin, the Malbin said, "You're allowed to sell him a plot, but charge him 20 times more than you charge anybody else." So this man was obviously very financially wise, and he finds out what the going price is, and he finds out that he's being charged 20 times more. He goes to the Malbim and says, "The Malbim, listen, if I'm allowed to be in a basic forest, which obviously you are allowing me, why charge me 20 times more?" He said, "Have you ever heard the difference between a sale and a rental?" He said, "Of course." He said, "Everybody else, we're renting out that piece of land. Their basic forest is filled of people who are renting. Because our Osir Lovay, after 120, not 120, after Tchias HaMesim, all these people will be standing up and they're vacating, so we're renting to them. You, we're not renting to, you're never going to stand up, so we're selling you the plot. And obviously, a sale is worth a lot, it costs a lot more than a rental." The man got the idea, whether it's the truth or not, I don't know. Yeah, but that's the difference. The difference is that a Baal HaBaribis is like a snake, that we can do tshuva for many things, but we cannot. Our Kodesh Baruch is not going to allow us to have the tikkun with ribis. Why not? Not another explanation. He says, "Dava acher shadoyme ribis anochosh shenoychesh kenochosh." He says a ribis is like biting like a snake. You go to a bank and they offer you a loan, and the loan comes with a little APR at the bottom. How much ribis you're going to be paying? A credit card. Take your credit card, you swipe it. Thank you very much. You walk out the shop. And only later on do you realize that you're paying the ribis and the ribis and the ribis, and it adds up, and the credit card, and it gets too much. And it's like a snake. A snake bites a person, he doesn't feel anything. Later on, suddenly his arm starts swelling and he feels ill. That is ribis. So the action of ribis is very similar to a snake of a bite which is not noticed. The punishment of ribis is that it doesn't get tchias hamesim. But there's more than that. There's more of a connection than that. So my Rebbe said, of Chaim Kaufman says, beautiful vot. He says that when the Nochosh got punished, he got punished at Ofer Lachmo Kolimei Chayecho. That you should have offer, you should have dust all your life. So the Gemara asks, what kind of punishment is that? The guy doesn't have to go to the Shlomo store to pay. He doesn't have to go and prepare himself meals. Anywhere he goes upstairs, he's got offer there, he just eats the dust, he has his food. Everywhere he goes, he has his food. Fantastic. He doesn't have to invest in any kind of payment to get his food. He doesn't have to work. He's got food everywhere he goes. Why is that a punishment? So Mepharshim explain that the punishment is that Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, take your food, I want nothing to do with you. Every other animal's got to work. There's got to be a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu's got to supply the food to him. With a Nochosh, I don't want to see you. Keep away. Take all the food you want. I want nothing to do with you. This is exactly the same as a Malva Baribis. A Malva Baribis is somebody who's saying, Rabbeinu Shalom says, you know what, I want nothing to do with you. No relationship. You have no relationship with me. By working in a system where you want to work with your own mind, with your own seichel, with your own ideas of how to make money, and cut me out of it, I want nothing to do with you either. A Nochosh is a Malva Baribis. It's exactly the same. And this is a danger. The danger of Ribis is a danger of cutting Kodesh Baruch Hu out of your life. Ramesha Feinstein says in Dorosh Ramesha, he says the Gemara in Kedushin says a whole list of what happens to a person who deals in Peiros Shvius. A person who is Masa Matan, a person who does business with Peiros Shvius, then eventually he's going to lose his field, then he's going to be sold, and etc., etc., goes all the way down. And one of the parashias, that is a continuation that talks about the punishment this person will receive for dealing in Peiros Shvius, is the fact that he's going to be borrowing with ribis. So Moshe Feinstein asks, what are you talking about? Who's going to lend him on ribis? It's awesome to lend on ribis. What punishment is it? He's going to have to borrow on ribis. Nobody's going to lend him on ribis because he's not allowed to lend him on ribis. What kind of punishment is that? So he says, embarrassment is the understanding. The punishment is the embarrassment that when he's going to start looking for a loan and everyone says to him, with pleasure, you don't have to pay me anything because I believe in the Rabbeinu Shleilom, this is something that's such an eye-opener for him, it's such an embarrassment for him, where he is told that if you keep Shmita, everything will be fine. And he didn't believe that. And he started selling Peiros Shvius. And now, everyone around him doesn't lend on Ribis because they have trust in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they look down at him with the fact that he's willing to offer them Ribis. That is the biggest punishment. The biggest embarrassment is, the biggest bezoyin is, for a person not to have the bitochen of those people who are willing to lend people without Ribis. And that's this week's parasha. This week's parasha is begins with Har Sinai. What is Har Sinai? Says the pasuk, "Vaydav Hashem Moshe b'Har Sinai le'moy." Says Rashi, "Ma inu shmita etzel Har Sinai? Why is shmita connected to Har Sinai? Every mitzvah was given at Sinai. Why is the association between Sinai and shmita?" So Rashi gives all different ideas over here, but the answer is that shmita is all about emunah and betochen. It's all about believing the Rabbeinu Shlomo is able to do the supernatural if you just follow his ways. You know, it's not natural to take a field and to plant in it 6 years in a row. 7 times you're going to leave a field to get back its strength, and then you carry on. Pasuk says over here, no, sheishon and tizat tzadecho. 6 years, just go, move, nothing will happen. I'm telling you, trust me. 7th year, let it go. And that is shleika darka, that's shleika darka teva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that when it comes to our money, and when it comes to our panosa, you have to have trust in me and nothing else. That is shmita. I'd like to focus on this a moment. This week's parasha tells us that there is an obligation for a person to keep certain mitzvahs based on emunah b'tochen. Shmita is a trust of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. A Kodesh Baruch Hu will lead your life in a way that supernaturally, during those 6 years, you'll be able to get panasa, and you have nothing to worry about in the 7th year. You have nothing to worry about. Ribbis is another extent that I'm just telling you that if you try and get around that and become the one who believes he's in control of the panasa, you have plenty to worry about. But there's plenty in between. There's plenty in between having incredible betochen and having no betochen. I saw a very, very nice vort from Reb Chaim Shmuel. He says that, as you know, Mordechai asked Esther to involve the king in saving Klal Yisrael. Mordechai went to Esther and says, call in the king and have her, you know, and deal with that. So he called in a human being to get involved. But Sadsheni, on the other hand, we find Yosef HaTzadik was taken to task and he suffered because he asked the Sar Mashkin to get involved. Sakim Zechartani, go along and please remind the king that I'm here for no good reason, and he suffered for that. So the question is asked, why by Mordechai and Esther? Was that the right thing to do and they didn't suffer? In fact, they had tremendous chus for saving Klal Yisrael. And by Yosef, he got punished for that. What's the difference? So the answer is like this, and the Reb Chaim Shmuel, the Rav in London, gives the answer in the name of Diane Krauss of Manchester. He says like this. He said that the mitzvah of emunah betochen, which is a mitzvah, I'm not going to exactly what mitzvahs they are, vidata, ayoyim, shalosa levechol, there's different mitzvahs of emunah betochen, is different to every other mitzvah in the Torah. Every other mitzvah in the Torah, there is a absolute right and an absolute wrong. There's mitzvah in sukkah, that a sukkah has to have a certain amount of walls, got to have a certain amount of schach. In the mitzvah sase, if you don't have that, you're not yotzei your mitzvah. And everybody, whether a tzaddik or whether a rosha, whether they're on this level or that level, there's minimum mitzvahs of sukkah you've got to have. If a person has 2 walls, they're not yotzei. You've got to have 3 walls. Right? There's also isurim in a Torah. Whether it's tzaddik or whether you're rosha, there's certain isurim in a Torah. You're not allowed to eat chaza. You're not allowed to eat basar v'cholov. You're not allowed to do certain things, and it's irrelevant what level you're in. There's levels that are absolute. Of course, once one fulfills the absolute levels, then there's hidurim and there's all different things, how you have your lulav and how you have your sukkah, that's fine. But there's absolute levels that is mutter and osa. And that applies to everybody. That is different to munim betochen. With a munim betochen, there are no absolutes for each. There's no absolute mutter and osa. For some people, there is a chiyuv to do yishtadlus. For some people, there's an obligation to go along and to work hard in order to make their panasa. And if one doesn't do that, this person is being negligent. It is also for him to pretend it's a munim betochem. This person's got to work. This person has got to be in the zeis apecha toich alechem, in the klala of the chet hanochosh. This person has to work. And if he denies that he has to work because he's not at the level of munim betochem and pretends he does, then he is making himself and his family suffer for nothing. On the other hand, there are those people who are absolutely levels of munim betochen, that for them to do ishtadlus is not only silly, not only are they wasting their time, but it's poshut bittul Torah. It's poshut wrong. And if they do overdo their hishtadlus, then they are doing something wrong. They're saying to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shleilam, I don't believe you can help me. I've got to help myself. Esther and Mordechai were not at the same levels of Yosef HaTzadik, and therefore they had to involve the Melech into helping them. Yosef HaTzadik, with his levels of Munim B'tochen, which are unbelievable, had no right to involve a third party into his rescue. He had no right to do that, and therefore he was punished for that. And that's Peshat, we say, every day in Shemona Esrei, Melech Oizer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizer, Moshiach Umogen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Oizer, Oizer is a helper, Moshiach is a savior, and Mogen is a shield. And then, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mogen Avraham. Yeah? What's an Oizer? What's a Moshiach? And what's a Mogen? So an Oizer is a person who does everything he can, and then he says, Rebbein Shleilam, I need your help. I'm doing my Ishtadlus, I need help. Mordechai and Esther, they did everything they can, they involved the king, and Rebbein Shleilam, please help me. I'm doing Panosah, please help me with my Panosah. That is an Oizer. What's Moshiach? Moshiach is somebody who leaves everything a savior, leaves everything to the Rebbein Shleilam. And doesn't do Ishtadlus. He does not do Ishtadlus. He leaves it all to Rebbein Shleilam. Moshiach, Yakosh Baruch Hu, I don't need to do work. I trust so much that you can do it. It's all up to you. And that's what Yosef HaTzadik should have been, and what he usually was. Just in one particular situation, he compromised on that and he got punished. Mogen is on a high level. Mogen is taking Rebbein Shleilam and saying, listen, Rebbein Shleilam, I am going to do things that are supernatural, and you're going to help me with this. Not just help me in my life. I'm going to do things that are crazy, and because I know that is your Rotson, I am forcing you into protecting me when I'm doing this. Avram Avinu went out and fought against the four kings. It was suicidal. How many people did he have? 318 men, and some people say it was just him and Eliezer. He said, Rebbein Shleilam, I've got so much Emunah B'tochen to help me with this. I'm going to make you help me. He was a Mogen. He was a shield. Baruch Ato Hashem, Mogen Avram. Avram Avinu, who was able to reach the level of Mogen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected him. It doesn't say Mogen Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It doesn't say Mogen Yosef. It doesn't say Mogen Esther and Mordechai. It's Mogen Avraham. People who are on that level of seeing the Rebbein Shem to an extent that they can draw Rebbein Shem into their lives, lead different lives, and they can expect better. That's Peshat Nisik's Parasha, where we find by Shmita.
Again, Avos.
Okay. Okay.
It's not Baruch Atah Hashem.
The parasha talks about Shemitah, right? And the parasha says, quite rightly, one would imagine that a person is going to be working in this field 6 years, and all of a sudden, close up shop, put lock in the gate, and everything's going to be fine. So the pasuk says, "V'chisayim rumanoicha b'shana hashishis." And lest a person say, "What will I do on the seventh year?" Yeah? What will I do? How will I support myself? Because Baruch Hu says, don't worry, if it's VCS Birchosi, I will command my bracha to come upon you. So the Achronim ask, the Balamusa ask, V'chisayimru means if a person starts questioning, what will be? Rebbein Shalom, what's going to be? And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will give you my bracha. What happens if a person doesn't ask? He doesn't say, my Yoichel Shalom. He doesn't ask. What will happen then? You heard this kasha before? So Rav Moshe says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if a person doesn't ask, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him bracha be'echus. He will see everything there, and the bracha will come in the quality of the products that he has. That little bit he'll eat, and that will fill him up. That will satisfy him. And therefore you'll not have to do extra work in order to provide place for all that extra tefillah. But the chisayim, the person doesn't have that bitachon. He says, Rabbi Yisrael, I need to see it. How am I going to live? Rabbi Yisrael, don't worry. So I'll give you extra tefillah. And that extra tefillah, you got to cut down, and you got to store, and you got to look after. So a person who has bitachon won't have to work harder, and he'll get the same amount of satisfaction from without having to work hard. Person who asks questions, doesn't have the bitachon, will have to work harder. That's what Rabbi Yisrael gives that teretz. The Kerem Atzvi, Feber gives a different teretz. He says we find that with the water, when Eliezer came with the camels, the water, it says, came up towards Rivka, right? It came up towards her. He said it seems it came up towards her. It doesn't say it came up towards, or it came up towards Eliezer as well, by the way. Yeah, it doesn't say it came up towards the camels. Why? He says because naturally, bracha connects itself to tzaddikim. Like the pasuk says, "V'yavoyo alecha kol habracha se'ilu v'hisigucha." They'll run after you. Bracha attaches itself to good. Naturally, within the world, bracha attaches itself to good, and therefore he says that this: a person who is a real Baal B'tochen doesn't ask questions. Of course, he will have shefa. Of course, he will have plenty. He doesn't need a Kodesh Baruch Hu giving him the bracha. The bracha itself will get automatically, naturally, within the nature of the world, that will come to this person without having a special tzivoy, without having special command of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If a person is a low level of B'tochen, and he'll ask, maybe he's entitled to ask, because he's not at the level of B'tochen, but Tzivisus Berchos, Kodesh Baruch Hu will have to give him the special command that Kodesh Baruch Hu will have to get involved in nature to tell nature to look after him. But a person naturally can expect bigger things the more he has a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The more he distances himself from Kodesh Baruch Hu, the less a relationship he has, that is what he's going to suffer from. And that is, says Rabbi Yisai, this is a beautiful, beautiful pshat we find by Ribis and how pshat is within the psukim over here. There's a beautiful Shlach Kodesh. He says like this. He says that very often, he's got a very long piece in this week's parasha. He says, people have a munim betachon until it comes to money. Until it comes to money. And suddenly it comes to money, people lose it. And people lose it for various different reasons. But one of the reasons is they don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the big picture when they're dealing with their clients. I see the Rabbein Sholom when I'm in shul davening. I see the Rabbein Sholom when I'm making Kiddush Friday night. But they don't see the Rabbein Sholom when they're making a business transaction with somebody else across the desk. That is not the Rabbein Sholom. That is my friend. That's my client. That's my customer. But they don't see the Rabbein Sholom over there. And in fact, they legitimize perhaps ripping the person off or even overcharging him based on the fact that it's the law of the jungle. The fact is, I am cleverer than him. This person obviously does not deserve as much as me, and therefore I'm entitled to it. It's mine because I'm entitled. I'm not doing anything wrong. So he says like this. He says, you just got to know, says Alshit, that when you mess over somebody else, when you take something from somebody else where you're not entitled to, then you are taking from me. Listen to how he explains this pasuk. In Perek Chof Hei, pasuk Lamed Vav, you have an obligation of a chai imoch to support the person who, to support this poor person. Al tikach me itoy neshech v'sarbis. Do not take from him neshech v'sarbis. If you take from him ribis, you're interfering with a master plan. In other words, as we know, every year from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person exactly the amount of panosa they are supposed to be getting. Not a penny more, not a penny less. Exactly the amount of panosa. Now, if you go along and charge this person ribis when he should not be charged ribis, and that is how the person is supposed to be running his business, by borrowing this money, then what you're doing basically is charging him more than he is supposed to be laying out for that year. Because he's supposed to be borrowing that money to run his business, yes, based on not ribis. So now you're charging him something that was not ke'ilu in his cheshbon for Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Says a posuk, you should just know that when you interfere with his panosa, al tikach me'itu neshech l'sarbis, don't take from him neshech l'sarbis, because ultimately, who is getting involved here to make sure he gets Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah? It's Rebbeinu Shleilam. V'yireisa melekecha. Have fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's taking away from me. You're messing up my panosa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as it were. You're involving me in this. I've got to start digging in my pocket to pay for his bills. You're messing with me. Don't look at the person as a human being. Look at the person as somebody that is intrinsically involved with his own Hashgacha Pratis. And by you taking away from him, you're taking away from me, V'yireisa melekecha. That's why Yireisa Kecha comes over here. Furthermore, he says, how should I look at the other person's money? How should I view the person's money that I have V'hikas mifa lo, and how should I view the money? V'chei ochicha imoch. What's v'chei ochicha imoch? V'chei ochicha, what's imoch? So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, by the way, when you have money that you are not needing for your own real panosa to support your family, and somebody else comes along and does not have enough money to support his family, what's happening over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you the money that you're supposed to be giving over to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving his money in your property, and therefore you're supposed to transfer it back. V'chei ochicha, support your brother imoch, because imoch means it's with you. The money that your brother has is with you. If I give you 50 shekel, do me a favor, I've got a hole in my pocket, take my 50 shekel. And the next day, I ask for the 50 shekel back. Are you a big tzaddik for giving back the 50 shekel? Of course not. V'chei ochicha imoch. Imoch means with you is this person's money. It's not your money, you're not a big tzaddik. It's his money that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave in your rituals, give it back to him. And he carries on and he says, if a person doesn't do that, if a person does not view the other person's money as, if a person does not view the money that you have extra as being somebody else's money, and he continues to do ribbis, not only will the Kodesh Baruch Hu strip you of everyone else's money that is by you, es kaspecho, your money. Now it's gone down to level where Kodesh Baruch Hu has taken away everyone else's money that is entrusted by you. Now your money, your own money that you have been entitled to, es kaspecho, ends up level that your money now, leisitin lebeneshech, you should not do ribbis. You got much less money than you had before, for punishment with that. Now using your own money, and you're still doing ribbis. You're using your own money now. Next stage is, ubamarbis leisitin ochlecho. Your money will be taken away, and you start eating your breadline. Even the money that you're just doing in order to eat, you started ribbis, that is where you're going to be reaching. You're going to start at a level of being a banker, looking after other people's money. You're going to end up just on your breadline yourself. This is somebody who messes up with a munim betochem. This is a person who does not understand that Kodesh Baruch Hu is in control. So he says, it carries on Al-Sheikh beautifully, he says, why is it that a person feels that he's better than a poor person? Why does he feel arrogant that he has a right to do anything he wants to somebody who's borrowing money from him or asking for money? So he says one of three reasons. One reason is, either I'm a bigger tzaddik than he is. Fact is, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is looking after me better than he's looking after him. I'm a bigger tzaddik. Secondly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created me in a way that I'm living in a better mazel than he is. I've got a better mazel. I'm living in a better mazel. And C, I'm cleverer than him. I'm a better businessman. And because of these three reasons, I'm a bigger tzaddik, I've got better mazel, or I'm a better businessman than he is, that is why ultimately I have a right to control his life. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, every one of these three tainus is wrong. Carries on the posuk. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. The parasha begins, Al tikach me'itoi v'chei achicha imoch. Who is that? All in singular. Then it starts talking about plural. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. What's Hashem Ani Hashem Elokeichem? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. Rich man and poor man, I'm the God of both of you. I love you just as much. You're not bigger tzaddik than he is. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. The reason why you have money, not him, is not because you're bigger tzaddik. I love him just as much as I love you. You're both tzaddikim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So don't think you have money because you're bigger tzaddik. What's the second taina? I have a better mazel. Asher hoitzeisi eschem eretz Mitzrayim. Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo sorof, el ani b'chvei divas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not work with mazolus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu overrode every different kind of mazel and took the person out. The Shlach Kodesh says that when it comes to panosa, mazel does not have anything to do with it. Ein shom, I'm not sure what he means. So he says, just like by Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely controlled against anything else, and he was the one who dealt with taking us out of Mitzrayim. That is panosa. It's hashkocha protis, not mazel. It's hashkocha protis. Asher etesi eschem eretz Mitzrayim. You think you're a better businessman. You think you have your business savvy, and that is why you have an advantage over him. Says a pasuk, lo se yislochem es eretz Kanan, lio yislochem le'lekim. I took you out of eretz Mitzrayim. Did you know how to fight a war? You are slaves. I took you out of Mitzrayim, and I took into Eretz Yisrael, and I fought for you, not because you're better soldiers than they were. They had seven powerful nations, and I wiped them off. because I have decided that is what you deserve, that's what you will get. It's all from the Rabbeinu Shlomo. And therefore, this pasuk at the end is not just a random bang, you know, knocking from all sides, know who I am, Hashem, Lekechem, Tuyav, Mitzrayim. No, it's countering the three tainas of the arrogance a wealthy person has over the poor man. I'm a bigger tzaddik? No, you're not. I have a better muzzle? No, you don't. I'm a better businessman? No, you're not. It's all the Rabbeinu Shlomo deciding exactly which money goes to where, and that's why you are where you are. This week's parasha. This week's parasha is about Amunah. It's about Bitochen. It's about letting HaKadosh Baruch Hu into one's life and working with him to help ourselves through his Yad, through his Hashkocha Pratis. We say every day, you know, in brachas, we say, Zoykev Kufufim, Matir Asurim. It's all Klolius. Yeah, it's all in Klal. It's all Beloshim Rabbit. What is a single? Sha'oso Li called Tzoraki. You've done for me everything I need. This is Hashkocha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashkocha Pratis. By cutting Rabbeinu Shlomo out, Rachman Hatzlan chases him away. By bringing him in, we can expect a better life. We can expect Bracha to run after us. This is this week's parasha. As Hashem, we should have the Siyata Shemaya to understand that money and Parnasa is all from the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Giving away tzedakah is not taking away from yourself. It's another person's money by you. The fact that you're wealthier, the fact that you have an advantage over somebody else is all because Rabbeinu Shlomo decided to test you. And Rabbeinu Shlomo has helped us to reach that stage. We should not chas v'shalom turn our backs, but as Hashem we should all have a panosa b'shefa. We shouldn't have to come to anybody else, but understand the lessons of Hashkocha Pratis. Yeah.